Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Good day, good day, good day, and welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle V.W. Jones Sr., right here on The Proceeding Word. So glad, elated, and literally excited to be with you yet another day, in a day that Yahweh, our Elohim, has made. There's no day like today ever again. There'll be no day like today, tomorrow, or the days after this. This day is your day in truth and in understanding and in the light of recalling, revamping, re-embracing who your Elohim and your King is. Well, today we got a dynamic broadcast for you. So glad that you have taken out the time to come and listen to the truth. the truth of his word, the truth in his word, and the truth for living. This day you will and can triumph over the enemy in and of your life. That enemy wants to keep you from heaven, wants to keep you from being eternally prosperous in the Messiah. Never let that happen. Utilize the word of God. Filter everything you encounter through his word. That includes your own actions. Mine, yours, and everything else must be filtered through his word. So let's get into the broadcast today. Hallelujah. It's another day that I'm so glad about living. Well, listen to this next piece. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, you know that today is the Sabbath. We want to teach you what these next 24 hours can and are designed to do for you. Many people don't realize the significance of what Sabbath is. And so today we're going to begin to really embrace the realities of what Sabbath incorporates. Not only what it incorporates, but watch this more importantly, how it empowers you. Now, the Bible declares that in the beginning, Yahweh had created the heavens and the earth. Of course, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 1 tells us and informs us in verse number 1 that these are the generations of the creation since Adam. And then Yahweh on the seventh day for man. What does he do with the seventh day? He hallows it. He cleans it. He sanctifies it so that he himself can dwell in that day with them he has created and empowered to govern over the land that Yahweh our Elohim hath made. So let's look now at what we consider the Sabbath to be and what we have morphed it into something that it is not. Let's look at the intent from the Holy Writ. Yahweh our Elohim is the truth. There is none like him anywhere. He makes mankind. He gives mankind a job. The fact that the first man was even created was based on the fact, according to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, that after Yahweh had created the heavens and the earth and all that therein dwells, he realized there was not a man to till the ground. So he makes the masterpiece we call today humanity, mankind. He creates the first man in the image we call Adam. That man has within him the potential for duality. He has in him both male and female. Then Yahweh, giving Adam his job and assignment, the reason he was made, only reason man was made was to till the ground Yahweh had made. So man was created for a specific function. Equally so, woman was created after man was created. And the reason for womb man's creation was that she, womb man, would help the first man accomplish the job Yahweh made for mankind to do. Now, Apostle, you're pushing all these technical pieces in front of us. I want to make sure you can embrace the intent of why you exist. Now, in understanding we exist only to do the glory of Elohim, one of the great singers, I think her name is Mary Alisi. I could be wrong. She sang, "I was created to make Elohim's praise glorious." I'll repeat the phrase. I was created to make Elohim's praise glorious. I'll do it yet again. I, mankind, was created, made, purposed for, designed for the very intent of making Elohim's praise a glorious experience in his ears. That's right. So you and I were not made to live a life we want to live, to do whatever we want to do, to be wherever we want to be and to go wherever we want to go. We were only created for Yahweh and or our Elohim's purpose. That's really it in a nutshell. And if we should ever, God help me to finally get it, ever realize that I'm not on this earth for VW, I'm on this earth for Yahweh. And therefore, Yahweh gets glory out of his creation. Adam, when made in the beginning, was then given the job of watching over all the cattle of the field, all the creeping things, all the flying things in the air, all the dry earth, and making sure that the ground produced. He was put in a garden that is called Eden, Genesis chapters number 1, and you'll read this in chapter 2. In that garden is where Adam was placed to and for the purpose of tilling the ground. Now, this is where it gets intriguing. Once Adam accepts his responsibility, which is the tilling of the ground and the management of the Garden of Eden, Yahweh says, I want to take you and give you the inventory of your job. He puts in front of him every caterpillar, every butterfly, well, butterfly and caterpillar, the same thing, hippo, every alligator, Mr. and Mrs. Gorilla, Mr. and Mrs. Gazelle, all of these items, Mr. and Mrs. Swine, Mr. and Mrs. Whatever else is out there, and he puts them all before Adam, and whatever Adam names them, that's become the name of those items. Now, this is where it gets really good. I want you to pay close attention that nothing distracts you. Once Yahweh sees Adam has taken full responsibility for his purpose for being in existence, he then says, Adam, you know what? It's not good for you to be all one. It's not good for you to be alone. Well, he is indicting that there are partners in physical pulchritude for each element I put in front of you. Mr. and Mrs. Lion, Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe, all of this, Mr. and Mrs. They have to come together. He says it's not good for man to be all one. So he puts man to sleep, takes out of man the womb section, and in the womb section he removes the womb man, gives the womb man its own pulchritude, but it does not, or Yahweh does not give the womb man pulchritude from another mountainside. He gives him the pulchritude from the man that's already created. So when he gives that man, this womb man, this comparable helper, he then allows for man to do what man has been called to do. Now watch this closely. He puts man together, gives man his spouse. The spouse and the man do the work of Elohim. They go for years doing it. But Yahweh says, on the seventh day, I create this day and I hallow this day so that my manager and I can have a meeting. Now, this is the VWJ translation. Don't get beat up and twisted at the fact that I'm telling you what it is. And you'll see why I use the analogy that way in just a few moments. Because every time that Yahweh wants something done, he likes to engineer, think about it. He likes to put it and make the vision plain. So every seventh day, some of us within our theological sphere believe that what Elohim has done is created a management meeting every seventh day of the week. Isn't that awesome? So when you keep the management meeting every seventh day of the week, you will be not only efficient for your boss, for your master, you will also be proficient because you will be carrying without any ambiguity the very purpose for why you have been created. I love this truth. This is so phenomenal to me. Look at what he says here. In the writ, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, he says, he's hallowed out the day. He's made this day holy. Therefore, he says, as we've all got to learn, be ye holy, for I am holy. So this seventh day is so much more significant than we can ever, ever imagine based on present day Christian theology. Now, this Sabbath day is so significant that when Yahweh finally decides to set law in the earth, outside of the one law he gave Adam, he tells Moshe to write out the 613 rules and ordinances for how my chosen people should live. Within those 613 ordinances, there are what you and I have called the Ten Commandments. Inside of the Ten Commandments, there is another process. This is so important. Another area where he specifically says, according to the Ten Commandments, he says in verse 8 of Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Mind you, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Then he begins to explain what this means. He says in verse 9, I'm in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8. I'll be reading 9 and 10 and 11. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, today I'll be reading out of the Holman Christian Study Bible rather than the King James because I want to show you a few things here today about understanding Sabbath as worship more so than some legalism, but learning Sabbath as worship. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor for 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. You must do and must not do any work on this Sabbath day. You or your sons or your males or your female slaves, your livestock, your foreigners who are within your gate. For Yahweh has made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. This is deep. There is no other of these Ten Commandments that has this type of writing to it, this type of define and clarity to it. Look at what he does here. It's so good. He says in verse number, I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read the Ten Commandments. And none of them have this defining of them as the Sabbath day does. Verse number 2. Just go to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 2. We'll start at verse 1. Then Elohim spoke these words to Moshe, saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim who brought you out of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Verse number 2 is what that says. Verse 3 says, first, your first commandment, do not have any gods before me. Verse 4 says, do not make any idols of yourself, whether you are in shape or anything in the heavens above or in the earth beneath. He is very clear about this. He doesn't want any idols before him. So therefore, he begins to explain how these types of idolatrous elements can be created. So he's very specific. But look at from verses 4 through verse 5 is what he begins to tell us. All right? Now, he says, do not make an idol of yourself, meaning don't make pictures of yourself, and whether they're in shapes of anything in the heavens, don't make shapes of them, or anything that is in the earth beneath or in the waters or under the earth. You must not bow down to them or obey them. That's what worship means, obey them. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, jealous God. I punish the children of the for the father's sin to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. All right? So when you hate Elohim, it means you don't keep his commandments. And it's not that you hate him per se, but when you don't obey his instructions and his rules, I've been on that receiving end. I've been on the opposite side. I have been a hater of Elohim in time past. But when you love him enough to know that when you err, you fall before him, you bow before him, you learn to worship, obey him in all truth, because he is a jealous God. You can't do you and expect him. So therefore, you must understand he is making it very clear who you must be like in order to understand and embrace him. Sabbath is so much more important than we imagine. Let me finish through the Ten Commandments. Verse number seven. Verse number seven says, do not misuse the name of Yahweh your Elohim, because Yahweh will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Then in verse 8 it says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Let's keep going past verse 8. Let's go down to verse number 12, because this is where it gets really good. He gives this four-verse define of keeping the Sabbath. Verse number 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given you. Verse 13 says, do not murder. Verse 14 says, do not commit adultery. Verse 15 says, do not steal. Verse 16 says, do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Verse 17 says, do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, here is the beauty of this. In these condensed ordinances of 613 ordinances, we have the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, another condensed form, we have what's known as remembering the Sabbath. Now, what does the Sabbath mean? The Sabbath introduces, with the giving of manna in chapter 16 of the book of Genesis, the term Sabbath being related to the Hebrew verb meaning to cease. Sabbath means to cease. It would be a perpetual institution, meaning every day of the seventh day of the week you are to cease from servile servitude. Not just a day to observe while receiving manna in the wilderness, but it would serve as a reminder of the law that was given in and on Sinai. See, in Exodus, it comes up for discussion in several places. In chapter 23, you'll read about it. Chapter 31, you'll read about it. Chapter 35, you'll read about it. And, of course, here in Genesis, or Exodus, I should say, chapter 20, when it talks about keeping the Sabbath holy. Now, the Hebrew verb kodash, it means to keep or to declare a thing as holy, to speak of consecrating the day. We call that Sabbath. See, this is the day that Yahweh has set apart. He has personally, from the beginning, set the seventh day aside from creative work. He did no creating on the seventh day. That is why every other day is labeled and numbered. This day is the only day he called to cease work, to cease creative activity. Yahweh had set this day apart and declared it holy. So to the Israelites, to believers, we should treat it as such. Now, this command of the Sabbath is particularly directed to the adults who had children and were wealthy enough to own slaves and livestock. Why do we say it that way? Because children are an arrow in a mighty man's hand. They contend with the enemy at the gate. And slaves, or I should say livestock and or indentured servants, are actual workers of a family or a union that has some degree of wealth because they are producing a commodity, and that commodity can only be harvested through actual labor. So this charge amongst the Israelites was pretty clear that it dealt with people doing work that produced revenue. And on the day of the Sabbath, there should be no revenue created. Why? Because your revenue comes out of the witty inventions that Yahweh gives you. Listen, listen, listen. Sabbath is the day that Yahweh, our Elohim, he who says, I know my thoughts concerning you, thoughts of good, not of evil, thoughts to give you an expected end. The one who says in his word, I love this so much. He is the one who indicts and says, listen, my thoughts are not like yours. My ways are not like yours. I need you to sit still with me for 24 hours from Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown on your Gregorian calendars, and sit with me for 24 hours, not trying to think about how you're going to make your next dollar, not trying to think about how you're going to build this next edifice, not thinking about how you're going to build the next car, but actually stop and think on me and allow me to permeate you, because I have sanctified the seventh day, that 24-hour period of time. Wherever you are, I don't care where on the globe or in the galaxies I've created, on the seventh day, it is the day of spiritual, physical rest, which starts spiritual empowerment. It's so important to catch. When we rest on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown, those are the accurate hours for Sabbath. When we rest in Yahweh, when we cease from labors, when we cease from every business projection and or every type of element that we're building regarding our future, and say, Yahweh, this day I'm going to sit and I'm going to build spiritually. I'm going to take in and only work on learning your words, taking your yoke upon me, for it is easy, and your burdens, they are light. In the day of Sabbath, Yahweh gives you and I witty inventions. He gives you and I insight into what took place over the last 6 days. And in that, we can now reconcile those 6 days. It tells us whether we were tripping when we spoke back, or whether we were off kilter when we judged, whether we were acting in pride and arrogance, or whether we were right in what we did or wrong in what we did. He will help us to reconcile the previous 6 days. And in that 24-hour period of time, we remain in a position of receiving of him with our families, with our children, with our spouses, with our men servants and our maid servants and our livestock, and simply, watch this, gathering together in his name with two or three, his presence, the Elohim of all creation, will come into our presence, for he inhabits the presence and the praises of his people. When two or three are gathered, his name, he is in the midst of us. This works, yes, for every other day, but especially on the Sabbath day of rest. Now, this is something I don't think we can really afford to just bypass and misinterpret. Because when we understand the significance of him declaring that day holy, means he is placing his glory in that day. Because when he sanctified the seventh day, he claimed it, declared it holy, and he says to us, be ye holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. We did a good job, yet an incomplete job, of defining holiness. I want to submit to you today that when you understand Sabbath from a Hebraic intent and perspective, you will understand Sabbath as the real principle for holiness, because it is a day that he is saying, I want you to come in and experience me totally. No distractions. Just the family I've given you, just the word and the guidances that I've given you, and while you are doing it together, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as some is, when you've done that, I will inhabit your space of obedience. Thus saith El Elyon. Thus saith El Shaddai. Now, in this moment, when he says, thus saith El Shaddai, he is speaking as one who is the provider of your every need, the multiple-breasted one, the one who, I love him so much, he is the one who is more than enough. And the songwriter says, you are more than enough for me. But you cannot access what he has for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, we've read it 100 times. I've quoted it already once today, that my thoughts are not like your thoughts, or rather, I know my thoughts concerning you, says Yahweh. Thoughts of good, not of evil. My thoughts are to give you and grant you and bring you into an expected end. Now, the thing is, you're never going to know my thoughts if you are constantly thinking about how you're going to do you, what you need to get done, and how you need to get it done. You are working for the money. You are working for the grind. You are working for your own wealth. You are working for your own prosperity. You are working for your own reasons. I need you to get my thoughts ingrained into you. And the day that does that the most efficient and the most proficient is the Sabbath, the day of rest. That is the day when you and I are designed, not by law, we are designed to rest. He did not make man after the seventh day. He made man at the sixth day and then said, enter into my rest. Sound familiar? It is also a typology and a symbolism that relates to a piece of eschatology. That piece of symbolism, that typology references the fact that he's going to say in the last day, when we all have to pass, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, Yahweh, our Elohim. He will then say, is my blood upon you? He's going to then say, he's going to ask Yeshua, is this one of yours? Yes, Yahweh, I see their blood. The blood of my blood is upon their heart, inside the lintels of their heart, and on the doorposts of their heart. And then he'll ask the next man, okay, fine, move, enter into my rest. Then he'll ask the next man, Yeshua, is this your son? Is this one of yours? And he'll say, sir, I don't see the blood, Father. I don't see the blood. He's going to say, whoa, hey, I hear you talking, but wait a minute. I did many works in your name. I did a lot of stuff in Yeshua's. I was going to say, yeah. My name works anywhere it's used. But the question is, are you resting in me? Are you a worker of me? And then he's going to say, well, I can't say enter you into my rest. So we need Yahweh to say, well done. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. Just stop today. Stop today from working iniquity and work his word and rest in his set and appointed times and honor him, worship him in his set and appointed times, and you will see significant change in your life. All right, I want to show you why that's important. Go to Exodus, not Exodus. We're going to leave Exodus. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 58. Now, many of you have heard me teach on this before, but I want you to really let it marinate. If you've heard it before, let it marinate. If you've never heard it before, let it permeate. Let it press in. Just suck it in. Isaiah 58. I want to show you something that deals with the significance of this day. Sabbath is so important of a day that if we don't get it, we will miss what is in store for us in that time of obedience. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 58, quickly, Isaiah 58, verse number 13, all right? Look at what he reads. Now, I'm going to read from the Holman Christian Study Bible, not the King James Version today. It says, if you keep from desecrating, this is verse 13, this is Yahweh speaking to Israel, okay? If you, Israel, Apostle Jones, whoever else is on this radio broadcast today, if you and I will keep from desecrating the Sabbath. What's that mean, desecrating the Sabbath? Well, it means from doing whatever you want to do on my holy day. Wow. And if you will call my holy day, the Sabbath, a delight, and call it the holy day of Yahweh, making it honorable, if you honor it by not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking too much. Sometimes the Bible does say you need to study to be quiet. You talk too much. And oftentimes when you stop talking, you actually hear how foolish you sound talking. Study to be quiet. Look at what he's asking us to do. He says, do not desecrate the Sabbath. What is the significant piece about the Sabbath? It is a day when you're supposed to rest. The only things you should say, now the King James Version of this makes this very, very good. It says in the King James, verse number 13 says, consider the day honorable of the Lord. considered honor, not doing your own way, seeking your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. And that is significant. So what he's asking the children of Israel to do when he says, don't speak too much on my holy day, he's saying, don't speak too much about what you think. The only thing you should speak is what my word says. Well, Apostle, how do I know what God's thinking? How do I know what Elohim is thinking? How do I know what Yahweh is thinking? Well, here's really how. It's in his word. You just say, just read the Bible? No, don't just read the Bible. Yes, you will, of course, of Sabbath, but more importantly, he is asking us to read his Torah. Read Exodus through to Deuteronomy. Genesis, rather, through to Devarim, Deuteronomy. Read through that. Understand those first five books of your Bible, and then the remaining 61 books will literally come to life. Proper interpretation, proper understanding. One who now can consider himself one who is pressing to study to show themselves approved of Elohim, one who can rightly divide the words of truth. So when he says this, he says, look, on my Sabbath day, don't desecrate my 24-hour period of time that I've given you. I want you to make it, consider it a delight to be with me. I want you to make it and consider it honorable to be with me. Make that day holy of every day in your life. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell your children, you can't get with me on this day. Yeah, we'll have dinner and all that stuff like that, but on the Sabbath day of rest, I am focused only upon the things of my Elohim. And you know what? That one day out of a week resting with him will give you such a reinvigorated, a rejuvenated, a reset, back to square one start coming 6 days. I can't tell you how the beatdown you received of these last 6 days. That's right. Technically, right now, you are in the sixth day of the week. Right now, this very hour, you are in the sixth day of the week. But watch this. Hallelujah. When you allow for Elohim to bring you to a place of rest, this seventh day becomes significant. You rest in him. He'll get all of your thoughts that you have thought from your own intellect, your own degree of wisdom, your own preconceived ideal of ceremonialism or Christian traditions or whatever your faith is. And he will help you through the word to ascertain his intentions. And more importantly, watch this, it'll be the proverbial statement, acknowledging him in all your way, so he will be able to direct your path. I'm hoping that this is helping someone other than me, because I am sitting here and my knees are shaking at the sense that I can't wait until 5-6 hours from now when I will be laying prostrate in my tallit before my Savior, not only asking him for his understanding, his mercy, his grace, but asking him to keep a life that wants to exalt his name capable of being in that position. That's something that we must always understand. This is what you and I should ask every Sabbat. Yahweh, what is there more to know about you? Yahweh, how do we help propagate your kingdom? Yahweh, how do I keep myself from myself? You know, the worst thing Yahweh can ever do to a human being is to turn them over to themselves. Yeah. So the seventh day helps us to become, watch this closely, locked into his train of thought. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good stuff. I'm hoping that you'll get this. Well, I got to take a quick break because my throat and my mouth need some water. But until I return, I want to let you know that his words are so real. Don't miss this day. Don't walk away. Understand his Sabbath and stay ready to embrace it. We're almost there.
Want to learn more? Need a church home? Join us every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for dynamic teachings in and through the Word. You can also join us, if you can't be here physically, on Ustream. That is the letter ustream.tv/Apostle VW Jones. We hope to see you then. Until we meet, Shalom.
Well, we want to make sure that you understand that there is a way you can learn more of this great gospel. And it's more than just the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, is the good news. That news, that good news of him is found in the Torah, is the living Torah. So let's get back to our study for today. I'm hoping this has helped somebody in a dynamic way to learn and embrace the truths of what each way Yahweh looks to encourage you can be most proficient. Knowing when to rest, who is as important as resting itself. Because if I rest on the day that he's not there, then my rest can be in vain. Same thing is true with what we call the seven appointed times. People call them the Feast of Israel, the Feast of the Jews. No, they're not the Feast of the Jews. No, they're not the Feast of the Israelis. They are the seven appointed times of Yahweh, appointments that he wants us to keep. The seventh day every week is an appointment that Yahweh wants us to keep. He wants us to keep it. He wants us to come. Stress and drama and frustration and disappointment and heartache can be removed in resting when he is there. For in him there is fullness of joy. On his right hand there's pleasures forevermore. But you got to be in him when he is in the place. Oh, well, you said that he was Yahweh Shammah, the Lord that was always there. In the Greek, they call him the omniscient, the omnipresent one. So what you mean when he there? When he there, he's always there. He's everywhere. Yeah, he is. He is everywhere all the time. Every moment of the day, he is everywhere. But understand this. There are certain times when he hallows a space of time. Did you get that? Hallows. He Kodeshes. Let me help you understand the significance of hallowing something. In your Bibles, in the book of Matthew, our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, he prayed because he was asked by the disciples, teach us how to pray. We've seen the Pharisees pray. We've seen the high priest pray. We've seen others pray. We want to pray like you pray. Teach us like John the Baptist taught his disciples, his Talmudim, how to pray. Yeshua says, when you pray, pray on this wise. Listen, listen, listen. This is the prayer instruction of our Savior. Listen, listen, listen and be saved. Listen and be free. Listen to this. He says, when you pray, pray on this wise. Now, it tells you from a Grecian and an Aramaic tense. But listen, here it is. Watch, 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 watch. Our Father, that means Yahweh, which art in heaven. See, he says, hallowed. Kodesh. Holy is what that means. Be your name. Now, I want to show you this because the beginning of this prayer is so important. You can't pray to Yahweh your Elohim unless Yahweh is your Elohim. So Yeshua was very careful when he talked to the disciples, his Talmud. He said to them, he says, when you pray, pray on this wise. The first thing you must do is recognize him as your Father. If he is not your Father, then don't pray to him. Go to the Father, whoever he is, if he's Beelzebub or the devil or Satan or your flesh or your pride or your arrogance or whatever you is, whatever your God is, you go pray to that God. But when you come before the creator of the heavens and the earth, in order for him to be your Father, you must look like him. You must possess his DNA. Our Father is love. His love covers a multitude of sin. His love, listen, strengthens you. His love increases you. His love, his, our God, our Father, protects you. He guides you. When you're wrong, he corrects you. He puts you back and restores you. Your God, if this is not your mindset nor mentality, He's not your God. When I'm in sin, He's not my God. When I'm lying and stealing and cheating and cursing and everything, that's not my God. When I'm drinking and smoking and fussing and complaining and murmuring, that's not the God of my salvation. You have to come back and say, Father, I repent for murmuring and complaining and fussing and crying and moaning and woe is me. And no, Yahweh, you are my Father. That's what He says to the disciples. He says, you have to talk with Him. And in order for Him to be your Father and you talk with Him as if He's your Father, you must be an obedient son. What does that mean? An obedient child. What does that mean? It means you must meet with Him when He is requiring meetings. The Sabbath is the day He made for mankind to meet with Him. No matter what you did right or wrong in the previous 6 days, He'll deal with that in you and you about that in that seventh day. He'll shut the door. You will enter into what we call that secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. And He will deal with you as His son. He will deal with you as His child. But that's why Yeshua says, Yahweh, the Grecians or the Aramaics will say, Abba, Father. They're saying, Yahweh, God the Father, hallowed, holy, Kodesh be thy name. Then He says, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earthen vessel. Now, many people say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. No, 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 no. Yahweh is not saying, let thy will be done on earth. He says, and Yeshua made the statement, He says, let thy will be done in earth. When you search that back out and you get past the Greek, you get past the Latin, and you get into the Hebrew, what they were saying, what Yeshua was saying was, Yahweh Kodesh be thy name. Let thy will in me, this earthen vessel. Thy will be done in this earthen vessel, just as it is in heaven. Now listen, it doesn't become that deep to you. It doesn't become that dramatic to you. It doesn't become that ominous to you until you start resting in Him on His appointed days. Then He opens and shines the light of life through your person. Though your sins were as scarlet, He'll make you whiter than snow. You desire to learn of Him. You take His yoke upon you. You bear the burden He has prepared for you, which will never be more than you can bear. Then you start to realize, oh, that is working together for my good. You know why? Because I love you. I love you, Yahweh. I love you, Elohim. And that's what He says in Psalms 91. When you place your love upon your Elohim, once you place your love upon Him and you know His name, then He will deliver you. He will answer you when you pray. I hope this is helping someone. I hope that you're gleaning and learning from this, because the significance of Sabbath is upon you. You are going to be in Sabbath in just a few hours. Just a few short hours. Sabbath is coming. I get excited. Now, y'all get excited for Christmas. Santa Claus is coming to town. No, Sabbath, Yahweh. He has an appointment that's waiting for me to get there. I got to be there. He who dwells in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Sabbath is upon us. We are this close with Him. Here's the catch. Everyone on the planet has the opportunity to embrace Him and experience Him in this day. But only those who choose to will. Only those who are willing to die out to what they think they have to do to live in this earth, what they think they have to champion to live in this earthen realm, only those who die out to our own preconceived ideologies and seek Him through the blood of the Lamb, through the resurrection of our Savior, through the forgiveness of sin, through the acknowledgement that Yahweh raised Yeshua from the dead, and then the fact that He says, on this day, do no work. Draw your family close to Me, those that will listen to you. Because if your children are already grown and you didn't know this, the strong possibility, as in even my own household, if you want to put it that way, you want your children to grow, they do what they do. Once you raise children and you have a spouse, and, you know, Paul says, hey, if the unbelieving don't want to worship, then, hey, if they be cool to dwell with you, then let them stay. If not, then, you know, it is what it is. How know you, O man or O woman, whether you shall win your loved ones by your chaste conversations, or more importantly, your worship, your obedience to Yahweh in their presence? And so on this Sabbath day of rest, it's a time when you and I come together in Him. Some people, if you're close enough, yeah, you can gather together and study together. And the thing is, don't speak your own words. Don't speak your vermin and negativity and your poison over your own life. The tongue, terrible tool outside of the hand or outside of rattling off the word of Elohim. So on this day, back to Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 13. He says, don't desecrate My Sabbath. Don't do what you want on My holy day. If you call the Sabbath a delight and you make it holy, consider it the Kodesh day of Yahweh. Make honorable. If you honor it, not going and doing your own ways, nor seeking your own pleasure, nor talking your own words or too much, if you do that, then you will delight yourself in Yahweh. And I, Yahweh, will make you to ride over the heights of the land, and I will let you enjoy the heritage of your father Jacob. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken this. This is a promise we just glaze over. But when you understand what He intends, and if I can get past, and we can get past, and you can get past what we think we deserve, and realize what He intends for us, it's always greater with what He thinks we deserve than the highest thoughts we have of our own self-deserving. Zion, the word of Elohim is only designed to bring His people, mankind, into proper worship. So the ordinances, the instructions, the law that we always say, we're not under law, we're under grace. The law of Elohim is always and shall always be there to bring us into that place of worship. Sabbath, sundown Friday till sundown Saturday, is designed to show you the instructions. If you keep the instructions in front of your face, it becomes your influence. If you don't, whatever you're looking at the most becomes your influence. Be very careful, people, of making your spouse your God, or making a baby you just had your God, or making a celebrity your God. We can even make their mothers and their natural fathers, or even what we call spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, such as your spiritual leaders. You can make them a God. Be very careful of making any other God before Him. So whatever we care about the most, whatever we think about the most, becomes our God. So if we're constantly thinking about something that is not Elohim, then that which we are thinking about becomes our influence. That's why David said, look, I'm hiding your word in my heart so that you remain my influence. I'm hiding your word in my heart. I'm keeping it in front of me. I'm asking you to quicken me according to your word, because in the word I learn how to function. I learn how to be influenced. I learn how to treat my brother. I learn how to deal with my sister. I learn how to deal with helping leadership or be in leadership. I learn the right way, not the mob's way, not the masses way. You got to remember something, people of the Most High. If the children of Israel, or the Jews, I should say, in the time of Rome, King Herod, had they used the word of Elohim properly, they would have dealt with Yeshua HaMashiach rightly. Now, the issue here is that Yeshua had to die because they were not going to deal with the word rightly and properly. They were doing it based on their way of thinking. So remember, it was the mob that crucified Messiah. And most of that mob only went off of the words of those who were pushing. They said the word meant. Always remember, never go with the masses. Go with the master. What does the master say about what you're doing? What you feel? What you want to do? Where you want to climb? What does the master say about you opening that business? What does the master say about you engaging this activity? Not what the masses say. I don't care what Oprah or Dr. Phil or Dr. whoever says. What does the master say? You know, there's nothing in the world the master has not addressed. But you won't know what the master thinks until you delight in the day of the master's appointment, Sabbath. Be there. The earth is circular. It is a sphere. Be there on Sabbath or be square. Yep, I said it. Sabbath is upon us. I'm so excited. Can't wait. My tallit is already out. I've anointed it with oil. I'll be in prayer for those 24 hours, and I pray you experience Him as I will experience Him in truth and in spirit. Shabbat shalom.
The Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. Every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team, a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word, and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.